1 Peter 2, beginning at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he's conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned for shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Loving Father, as we think about your word this morning, please open our hearts to hear your message afresh. Please guide us, but please also inspire us to live for you. Amen. Well, our focus this morning is on that reading which we just heard. You may find it a great help to have it in front of you. It's on page 1218. In a month's time, we will be coming to chapter 3, and it's got me thinking already, hearing it read, what we might be saying in a month's time. But for today, chapter 2, verse 11 and following. We see here the difference that Christians can make in the world around us. Maybe you think, I would love for Christians to be having a bigger impact in our country than we are at the moment. I know that locally, we really want to make a positive difference as believers in the community around us. Well, this passage guides us about how Christian believers can make an impact, a positive effect in the world around us. 1 Peter is a letter, of course, written by the Apostle Peter to believers in a particular time and particular place, but it's included in the Bible as the word of the Lord for all generations. And the key to it here this morning is in the first two verses, verses 11 and 12, the key to making an impact, a positive difference in the world around us. We'll spend a bit of time on 11 and 12, and more briefly in the rest of the passage. Let me read those verses once again so they're very fresh in our minds. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I'd like you to think for a moment about the life of the British ambassador in some far-flung country. Doesn't matter what country, let's say China. Now, our ambassador lives in that country as a foreigner and stranger there. So, for example, he has a different home from the people around him. His home is back here in Britain. He has a different loyalty from the people around him. His loyalty is to our Queen. It may be at times he lives by different customs to the people around him in China. So he's living by the customs of England. The people around him are living by the customs of China. I bet often our ambassador there feels like an alien and a stranger in that country. Maybe at times he's criticized or insulted for the way he lives. But on the whole, our ambassador in China is called to live in such a way that the Chinese people will be attracted to his way of life. And the way he relates to people, the way he lives, is to attract the people to Britain. Now that's the life of our ambassador in China, whoever he or she may be. It's also the picture of the life of the Christian in the world. Verse 11 says, we're aliens and strangers in the world. Now that's obvious in places like the Middle East or the Sudan, where Christians are persecuted for their faith. But have you ever thought that the real Christian is always, in a sense, a foreigner and stranger in this world? That's because our true home, our permanent home, is not here, it's in heaven. Our loyalty is to Christ as our King. That will be different from people around us. And it may be that our way of life is different as well. Of course it is, as we seek to follow Christ and obey him. Just like that ambassador, from time to time we may be criticized, as it says, though they accuse you of doing wrong. But also, like that ambassador, Christians are called to live in the world in such a way that people are attracted. So Peter says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. What an image that is. It's the picture of a civil war going on inside every believer. The Holy Spirit pulling us to love and obey God. The sinful nature pulling us to turn our backs on God and disobey him. And Peter says, as ambassadors for Christ, abstain from those sinful desires. With God's help, say no and go on saying no to those sinful desires that fight within us. So as ambassadors, negatively, we're to abstain from sinful desires. But positively, verse 12, it says, live such good lives. That word good could be translated honourable or even beautiful. He's saying, live such beautiful lives among those who don't know God, that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. It's a little harder to understand the last part of that verse, but what Peter has in mind here is people seeing the good life of Christians and being attracted to Christ to put their faith in him, so that on that great day when God visits us, when Christ comes again, they too will be ready to praise and glorify him. This is the big message of our sermon this morning, that Christians are Christ's ambassadors, called to live in this world as aliens and strangers, abstaining from sin and living such good lives that people are attracted to Christ. Now, I think all of us think sometimes we won't be able to make any difference in the world in that way. That can't happen through us. But so often when we meet people who've come to faith in Christ as children or as adults, and we ask them, what attracted you to the Lord Jesus? Again and again we hear, well, it was the lives of those who followed him. It was the way they cared. It was their humility. It was their generosity. It was their love. This is what attracted them to Jesus. Christ himself taught the same thing when he said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What does it mean in particular to live as Christ's ambassadors? It's what Peter starts to teach us in the rest of the passage, which we'll look at more briefly now. Firstly, he talks about being Jesus' ambassadors in the world in the way we relate to governing authorities. We read from verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. And in verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the king. Now, honouring authorities, submitting to them, obeying them and respecting them are not fashionable today. You only have to look at how one senior politician has been lampooned for the way he ate a bacon sandwich in public a couple of weeks ago to see how disrespectful our public discourse has become. I'm thankful that my breakfastings are not transmitted to the country on television. If they were, I'd never be able to show my face in public again. Shows how unreasonable it is, often the treatment that our politicians get. Well, as Christ's ambassadors, Christians are called to live differently, to obey the government, to honour and respect them, even when we disagree with their policies, to do so respectfully. And the idea is that this will silence those who say that Christianity is a bad thing, that Jesus is somehow a negative influence in our lives. People see the considerate and respectful way that Christians live. The idea is that they'll say, yes, I can see that having Christians in our country, in our community, is a good thing. So they see us showing proper respect to everyone, as they see us loving each other, fearing God, and honouring the government. Of course, there are occasions where we're not able to obey the government, perhaps particularly in other countries we might think of. But on the whole, as Christ's ambassadors, we obey God by honouring the government. There's another way in which we live as Christ's ambassadors that Peter touches on here. And that is we can be his ambassadors in the workplace. Actually, what he says in this section helps us with any setting where we might face unfair or harsh treatment or insult. Talking about being ambassadors in the workplace, he writes in verse 18, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God." Now, we may feel that we have had, or perhaps have at the moment, bosses who are slave drivers. You sometimes hear people say, "My boss is an absolute slave driver." You'll be relieved to hear that I don't consider myself, with John, of course, to be in that situation. But for many of Peter's original readers, they were literally slaves. Of course, millions and millions of people in the Roman Empire were. Slaves held a great range of different positions in those days, from household servants, even to senior managers could also be slaves. And they had a range of conditions. Elsewhere, the New Testament instructs Christian masters to respect their slaves and to treat them in a right way. And the New Testament sows the seeds that would bring down the whole institution of slavery. But here, Peter shows slaves how they too can be ambassadors for Christ by obeying and respecting their masters, even when they're harshly treated. And actually, this principle applies to other workers as well. We may have bosses who are unreasonable or over-demanding or who put us down. While doing the best work that we can for them anyway, now that's a powerful witness. We may have colleagues who are insulting or who take advantage of our good nature. Well, what a powerful witness to honour those colleagues, to not gossip about them and not put them down. In fact, any time at work or in the rest of life where we receive harsh treatment or insults, it's an opportunity to be Christ's ambassadors in the way we respond to it. So Peter says in verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to he who judges justly." Just think of the insults and suffering that Christ faced on that first Good Friday. And he set us an example to follow, not retaliating, not making threats in return, but entrusting ourselves to God, bringing the situation to him in prayer, knowing that one day he will right every wrong. This doesn't mean, by the way, it doesn't mean that we can't try and change an unfair situation we're in. We can't do that if we're able. But what this does rule out is any kind of revenge, any kind of returning insult for insult. To follow Christ's example when we're treated harshly, it's a powerful witness indeed. Well, Peter, in his final two verses, reminds us that it was for us that Christ suffered. These are very helpful verses in understanding what Jesus' death for us and the difference it makes for us. It says in verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." He's saying that Christ bore our sins on the cross. He thought of us. He thought of the judgment our sins deserved, the price that had to be paid. And in his great love, Christ chose to pay that price for us, to take the judgment himself so that we don't have to. It's like a loving mother paying a fine for her daughter, a father going to prison in place of his son. And the result is that through faith in him, we can live a new life of righteousness. Through faith in him, we've been healed, our relationship with God restored. And he rose again to be the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And Peter's logic is, if Christ did this big thing for us, bearing our sins on the cross, can we not do the smaller thing for him, enduring insult and harsh treatment without retaliation and revenge? It's what it means to be his ambassadors. So as we conclude, Christians have a huge privilege. We're citizens of heaven. Not because of our good lives, but because Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. When we put our faith in him, we become citizens of heaven and his ambassadors in this world. So believers, can I suggest each morning this week when we wake up and when we look in the mirror, we say to ourselves, "Good morning, Your Excellency." It's the title of an ambassador, isn't it? Every morning we say to ourselves, "Good morning, Your Excellency." Reminding us that through God's grace, through what Christ did in paying for our sins on the cross, we're citizens of heaven, foreigners and strangers in this world, but living as his ambassadors here. That's a great privilege. It's a serious challenge as well. We go into college, into work, into our homes, into the community as ambassadors for Christ, called to abstain from sinful desires and live such good lives that people are attracted to him. Now, sometimes we think we won't be able to make a difference in that way. Our impact will be too small. Well, maybe it will be small. Maybe it will be big. But this is the way Christ's family grew in the Roman Empire. Ordinary people, slaves and others, were living as his ambassadors. And may this be the way Christ's family grows around us here as well. Amen.